This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello and welcome to today's readings of selections from the December-January issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, the Best in Audiobooks and Narrators 2017 in the area of fiction and nonfiction and culture will be heard. Then we'll finish our reviews in literary fiction, and we have an interview with narrator Alyssa Bresnahan and a review of her reading of The Child Finder by Renee Denfield. We'll also have a few reviews in historical fiction, including a review of Philippa Gregory's The Last Tudor. It's an Earphones winner, read by Bianca Amato. Let's get right to it. Nonfiction and culture. Here's our list of the best of the best. Caesar's Last Breath by Sam Keen is read by Ben Sullivan. Draft Number 4 by John McPhee, read by the author. And here's what the reviewer said. John McPhee delivers a fine performance of this masterclass in nonfiction writing. Next, we have Finish, written and read by John Acuff. I Can't Breathe by Mac Taibbi, read by Dominic Hoffman. Letters to a Young Writer by Colum McCann, read by Colum McCann. The Little Book of Higgy by Mick Weeking, read by the author. Please excuse pronunciation here. The Meaning of Michelle. Veronica Chambers was the editor, and it's read by January Lavoie and Prentice Onayemi. Option B by Sheryl Sandberg with Adam Grant, read by Elisa Donovan. Own It by Sally Krawcheck, read by Ellen Archer and Sally Krawcheck. And here's what Ellen Archer says about Own It. Own It is a battle cry for women in the workplace and out in the world to use your power and your gifts. Change is afoot. That's Ellen Archer on her reading of Own It. Next, we have The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness by Paula Poundstone, read by the author. And finally, Word by Word by Corey Stamper, read by the author. And the reviewer said, Stamper takes listeners on a verbal tour of her office and the work that goes into creating dictionaries. She narrates with a delight and fascination with language. And that's the end of this week's list of the bests in nonfiction and culture. Now we will return to our reviews in literary fiction. And our first review is an Earphones winner. And as you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. In the print version of the magazine, many of our reviews display a QR code, which, when you scan it with your smartphone, will play a sound sample of the book. I'll let you know when a review has a QR code, and if you don't have a smartphone, you can still hear titles of most of our sound samples of most of our titles at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The first review today in literary fiction is The Infinite Air by Fiona Kidman, read by Heather Bolton, and it's an Earphones winner. Kidman's audiobook is a fictional account of New Zealand's intrepid aviator Gene Batten, who broke several aerial records in the 1930s. Using Batten's letters and journals, Kidman details her aspirations, which were continually questioned because of her age and gender. Narrator Heather Bolton is riveting as she depicts Batten's determination and bravery during her flights in death-defying conditions. Bolton lays bare Batten's psychological and physical struggles as she flew alone, using primitive navigation tools. The listener becomes invested in her struggles, heartbreaks, and achievements. As Bolton presents each character, major or minor, with meticulous precision, Batten's encounters with aristocrats, royalty, and even Ian Fleming are especially interesting. Listeners will want to learn more about Jean Batten after hearing this production. Shelley Holly wrote that review of The Infinite Air by Fiona Kidman. It's an Earphones winner, read by Heather Bolton, available from Belinda Audio for 12.25 hours unabridged. Our next review in fiction is Five Carat Soul by James McBride. It's an Earphones winner, read by Arthur Morey, Niall Bullock, Prentice Onayemi, and Dominic Hoffman. In this collection of previously unpublished short stories by the award-winning author of The Color of Water, an outstanding team of narrators portrays a variety of characters. Novelist McBride peels back the thin veneer on American life with intellect, emotion, and at times, stinging humor. Arthur Morey affects an anxious tone and a purposeful pace as he portrays an antique dealer who discovers a priceless toy and deals with a stubborn man of God. In another story, narrator Niall Bullock takes on an adolescent tone as he perfectly captures the teenage dreamers in the Five Carat Soul Bottom Bone Band as they deal with their aspirations for their music and conflict over how to cope with life, love, and hope. Randy O'Brien wrote that review of Five Carat Soul by James McBride, an Earphones winner, read by a group of talented narrators, available from Penguin Audio for 9 hours unabridged, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Next in literary fiction, we have In the Memorial Room by Janet Frame. It's an Earphones winner, read by Humphrey Bauer. Beautifully written by New Zealand's Janet Frame, this comedy of manners pokes fun at literary wannabes who seek to enshrine the life and works of a mediocre local writer. Narrator Humphrey Bauer manages to completely disappear into the hapless Harry Gill, the writer who wins the Watercress Armstrong Fellowship, a memorial to poet Margaret Rose Herndl, whose work was once lavishly praised by now long-forgotten writers. Frame based Harry's experiences on her own as the 1973 Catherine Mansfield Fellow in Menton, France. Bauer is quietly hilarious when Menton's mayor mistakenly shakes someone else's hand for a photograph with the award winner. He is wonderfully tender and understated as Harry, who at first is going blind, instead goes deaf. Frame's sentences are miracles of convolution, and Bauer delivers them effortlessly. That review by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, is of In the Memorial Room by Janet Frame. It's an Earphones winner, read by Humphrey Bauer, available from Belinda Audio for 4.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next in literary fiction, we have Imagining Diana. It's by Diane Klahane, and it's read by Stina Nielsen. In this audiobook, Princess Diana is imagined to have survived the car crash that actually took her life. Stina Nielsen's understated portrait of Diana is attuned and distinct, believable and empathetic. Exposition heavy, this alternate history is mostly extrapolation on how Diana felt about boyfriend Dodie, ex-husband Charles, love of her life Hasnat, and the paparazzi. The story plays out in scenes designed to reveal her motives and aspirations through dialogue. Nielsen enhances the dignified yet gilded text with a reporter's air of conveying nonfiction. Short on new drama for obvious reasons, the audiobook is true in tone to the legend of the most famous woman in the world at the time of her tragic death. Jonathan Lowe wrote that review of Imagining Diana by Diane Klahane. It's read by Stina Nielsen, and it's available from MetaBook for 5.5 hours unabridged. Our next review is Forest Dark by Nicole Krauss, read by Gabra Zachman. Narrator Gabra Zachman's voice is a confident, centered presence in Krauss's esoteric audiobook. Listeners encountered two stories. One involves wealthy New York attorney Jules Epstein, whose passions include art collecting. The second centers on Nicole, a writer who also lives in New York, who decides to seek inspiration in Tel Aviv. Epstein travels to Israel as well, perhaps in search for meaning. Krauss's novel progresses in an unconventional ways. Nicole is characterized primarily through her mind. We listen as her thoughts unspool in a narrative that encompasses larger intellectual themes. Zachman, as the voice of these thoughts, guides listeners with a skilled narration that complements Krauss's audiobook. Stephen P. Cummings wrote that review of Forest Dark by Nicole Krauss. It's read by Gabra Zachman. It's available from Harper Audio for 8.25 hours of unabridged listening. And this is a reminder that you are listening to the December-January issue of Audiophile magazine. It's our 2017 Choices of the Best Audiobooks of the Year issue. Okay, continuing now with literary fiction, we walk into The Gelatin Coast, a novel of misadventure by Doug Sacrison. It's an Earphones winner, read by Joel Frumkin. There's not an accent or personality that narrator Joel Frumkin doesn't deliver with zest in this hilarious romp. Through a series of calamities, Jamie Brewster finds himself on Africa's Gelatin Coast, where ships go to die. There, he befriends Ernest, an African child, and a Canadian moose named Mickey. When a billionaire wants to kidnap Mickey Moose, Brewster energetically responds. He meets an eccentric Swiss pirate, a runaway baseball player, and many more, each dynamically presented along with laughable one-liners by Frumkin. His clear descriptions help listeners imagine each situation, no matter how implausible. His most memorable characters are endearing Ernest and Brewster's mother, whose pride in her son and her need to discipline him make her sound like everyone's mom. Audio enhances this delicious, quirky story and adds to the fun. Susan G. Baird wrote that review of The Gelatin Coast, a novel of misadventure by Doug Sacrison. It's an Earphones winner, read by Joel Frumkin, and it's available from Doug Sacrison for 10.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next we have A Horse Walks Into a Bar. It's written by David Grossman, translated by Jessica Cohen, and it's an Earphones winner, read by Joe Barrett. Israeli stand-up comic Dove Greenstein's shtick involves hurling fast-paced insults at his audience in frenetic, hysterical tones. Joe Barrett transcends genre as he delivers a performance that is at once painful, annoying, revealing, heartbreaking, and completely riveting. Barrett is incredible as Dove's screaming and self-punishment peel layers from his life, making his routine more autobiographical than comical. Dove plunges into tales of childhood abuses by classmates and his uncompromising father, his pathetic mother, a Holocaust survivor who barely survived, and his life-altering week at a military youth camp, which he was forced to attend. From Dove's childhood acquaintance, now a district court justice and witness to Dove's explosive patter, to members of the uneasy audience, Barrett makes all the characters compelling. This is beautifully crafted, original, disturbing, and unforgettable listening. That review by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, is of A Horse Walks Into a Bar by David Grossman, translated by Jessica Cohen. It's an Earphones winner, read by Joe Barrett, available from Highbridge Audio for 5.75 hours, unabridged. And we have The Little Old Lady Who's Struck Lucky Again. That's the next book, The Little Old Lady Who Struck Lucky Again by Katharina Engelmann Sundberg, and Earphones winner, read by Patience Tomlinson. Hold on to your wallets. The League of Pensioners are up to their old tricks. Patience Tomlinson's performance of this sequel to The Little Old Lady Who Broke All the Rules is so stellar, it's criminal. As the Swedish retirees connive to outsmart Vegas casinos in this caper, Tomlinson delivers the action and humor with her own sleight of hand so that listeners get caught up in the liveliness of the plot, not her narration. Whether she's portraying a septuagenarian woman or the leader of a biker gang, Tomlinson nails the emotion, the pacing, and all the small yet vital nuances of each individual. Author and narrator are a perfect pairing. Don't miss out. This rip-roaring audiobook hits the jackpot. Jennifer Forbus wrote that review of The Little Old Lady Who Struck Lucky Again. It's written by Katarina Engelman Sundberg and Earphones winner, read by Patience Tomlinson. It's available from Harper Audio for 12.25 hours unabridged, and the magazine does carry a QR code. And now we'll take a little break from our reviews, and we'll have an interview with narrator Alyssa Bresnahan. Quick, what do you call a closet that contains clothes and a microphone? A recording booth, of course, says Alyssa Bresnahan. Makeshift but soundproof, it belonged to an independent producer without a studio, and it was one of the places you could find her in 2002. Bresnahan began her career in audiobook performance just after college in the early 1990s when a friend at Recorded Books suggested that she call executive producer Claudia Howard. Soon after auditioning, Bresnahan received her first book to record, Helen Keller's The Story of My Life. After that, it just kept going, she says, attributing her steady success to her young voice and a lack of competition. There weren't a lot of people recording then. Reviews for Bresnahan's work point less modestly to a talent for characterization, pacing, and a chameleon-like ability to match emotion to plot. Why, thank you, she says when complimented, and adds, finding audiobooks so early enabled me not to have to waitress. Right from the beginning, I was working full-time as a performer. How lucky is that? In addition to young adult books, which she still records, they are some of the best literature out there, Bresnahan says. She performs a range of literary and popular adult fiction, mysteries, romance, and fantasy. Reading is a gift of this job, she says. I just finished Renee Denfield's beautiful book, The Child Finder, which soulfully brought home the point that abuse and cruelty can take on a life of their own if not stopped and healed. I'm also exposed to writing that I wouldn't otherwise encounter, such as fantasy. Now it's a whole world that has opened up to me. She laughs. When I drop my daughter off at school, other parents will ask, "You going to work?" I'll say, "Yeah, I'm going to read." Bresnahan has chosen not to have her own recording booth. Everywhere I go, there always seems to be somebody with a book and a microphone, she jokes. Actually, I enjoy the social contact of going into a studio and getting feedback from the producer and sound engineer. You see, when you record a book, it's gone. You don't know who's listening. Occasionally, though, she has a hint. At Lincoln Center a few years ago, she found fans waiting at the stage door. They'd say, "I loved you tonight, and I loved your books." That means a lot. Audiobooks have been such a large part of my life, says Bresnahan. They've been my bread and butter and still are. In many instances, I don't know what I would have done without them. But it's more than that. They've been a very good partner throughout my acting career and have helped define who I am as a performer. Aurelia C. Scott conducted that interview talking with Alyssa Bresnahan, and here is a review of The Child Finder by Renee Denfield, read by Ms. Bresnahan. Naomi is a private investigator with a passion for finding missing children. In her current case, she sets out to find Madison Culver, the snow child, who disappeared 3 years her while her family was picking out a Christmas tree. Narrator Alyssa Bresnahan uses fittingly solemn tones for a bleak and disturbing story. When Denfield's story changes its point of view, Bresnahan's makes the delivery shifts clear. She poetically delivers Denfield's prose with meaning and a tone of vulnerability, and recounts pasts of both Naomi and Madison hauntingly. The suspense of the story is magnified by her impressive narration. The storyline, the connections between characters, and the compelling ending will not disappoint. Denise Zajakovsky wrote that review of The Child Finder by Renee Denfield, read by Alyssa Bresnahan, available from Harper Audio for 8.75 hours unabridged. And the magazine does carry a QR code. Okay, now we are going to turn our attention to some reviews in historical fiction. And our first review today in historical fiction is The Last Tudor by Philippa Gregory. It's an Earphones winner, read by Bianca Amato. Narrator Bianca Amato delivers another flawless performance as author Philippa Gregory reaches deep into history, using impeccable research to speculate on the hearts and minds of three Tudor women. While many listeners know the tragic story of Jane Grey, who was queen for 9 days before she was executed, fewer know of her sisters, Catherine and Mary, who were also rightful heirs to the throne. Both Grey sisters married for love without Elizabeth I's permission, giving the mercurial queen an excuse to imprison them. Telling the story in three parts, Amato makes each sister's anguish and anxiety palpable as each suffers the machinations of a jealous, vindictive queen. This heartrending family saga takes place in an era when being a woman was even more dangerous than being in line for the throne. This is historical fiction at its best. That review by me, Sandy Henschel, is of The Last Tudor by Philippa Gregory, read by Bianca Amato. It's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 19 hours of unabridged listening, and the magazine does carry a QR code. Continuing in historical fiction, we have Before We Were Yours by Lisa Wingate. It's an Earphones winner, read by Emily Rankin and Catherine Tabor. This audio experience is truly horrifying. It's not Wingate's writing, which is gripping, evocative, and colorful. The narration is likewise admirable. Emily Rankin and Catherine Tabor are polished narrators who give us sympathetic, memorable characters whose voices are age-appropriate and conventionally Southern. What's horrific is the story itself. The story describes the atrocities of Georgia Tan, who ran a notorious children's home society in Tennessee. We see her cruelty through the eyes of a river rat who was stolen from her riverboat home with her five siblings. This is a parallel story about modern-day senator's daughter who has familial connections to the 1939 abductions. This story is well presented, perfectly paced, and emotionally satisfying. Diana L. Granger wrote that review of Before We Were Yours by Lisa Wingate. It's read by Emily Rankin and Catherine Tabor. It's an Earphones winner, and it's from Random House Audio for 14.5 hours unabridged. Next, we have All True, Not a Lie in It. Alex Hawley wrote it, and it's read by Kirby Hayborn. Kirby Hayborn is a wonderful narrator who is well suited to this first-person story of pioneer Daniel Boone's life. Brought up as a Quaker, he was twice captured by Indians and then participated in the Revolutionary War. Narrative on Boone's thoughts and actions, as well as clever, well-written period dialogue delivered in Hayborn's assured and gentle voice, provide richly dramatized scenes. Hayborn's portrayals avoid trying to perform characterizations of secondary characters. Nonetheless, his smooth, rich voice and excellent pacing captures the energy of this well-written novel. The engrossing production hooks listeners on Hayborn's performance as well as the story. Susan C. Awe wrote that review of All True, Not a Lie in It by Alex Hawley, read by Kirby Hayborn. It's available from Harper Audio for 13.5 hours unabridged. And finally, today we have The Night Ocean by Paul Lafarge, read by Elizabeth Rogers. Elizabeth Rogers gives a nuanced reading of this multi-layered audiobook. She modulates her tone and varies her cadence and delivery to effect the different voices of the men and women who populate the fascinating world of this novel, which moves from the 1930s and 40s to the present. Her understated approach works well to elucidate a complex plot with a presumptive suicide and travels back in time as a kind of roman à clef with the late horror writer H.P. Lovecraft at its center. She sure-handedly delivers the literary intrigue that keeps the listener engrossed. Lafarge's novel has atmosphere to spare, and Rogers' superb narration makes the listener want to seek out more of his work. Alan D. Minskoff wrote that review of The Night Ocean by Paul Lafarge. It's read by Elizabeth Rogers, available from Recorded Books for 13.5 hours of unabridged listening. Well, that's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we'll have a list of the best audiobooks and narrators 2017 in the area of memoir. And then I'll have reviews in the areas of biography history and biography memoir, including reviews of Leonardo da Vinci by Walter Isaacson, its Earphones winner, read by Alfred Molina, and Grant by Ron Chernow, read by Mark Bramhall. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.